السلام عليك beseech you, I will grieve you into the night.
I will beseech you, I will grieve you into the night. You are my master, I am alone, I call unto you. You are my master, I am alone, I call unto you.
Because I will be with you till the end, Hussein. In my eyes there's always tears of pain.
Like a river flows for your love, Hussein. Every broken heart cries out your name, cries out your name.
روحي وقلبي لديك صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله يا أبا عبد الله.
روحي وقلبي لديك صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله يا أبا عبد الله.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this live edition on IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram. We express our condolences on the arrival of the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Al Hussein alayhi salam and his faithful companions. Please stay with us in this live edition for more than 1 hour.
Your name gives meaning to my soul. To you I raise my hands and call. Mere Mola Ya Hussein Jaan. Mere Mola Ya Hussein Jaan. Hussein Jaan. Hussein Jaan. My tears fall.
Welcome back. You're listening to us live on IRIB English Radio. I am Atta, the host of this program. Well, welcome again to this live edition, special for the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. For this purpose and for today's discussion, I have two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Ahmad Danish and Brother Alevian. Shaykh Danish, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
And Brother Alevian, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
So, this month of Muharram is a different one for the Islamic nation, especially for Islamic Republic of Iran, since they have lost their dear leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, so many of their commanders, military commanders, nuclear scientists, civilians, the school girls and boys of Minab School 168, the teachers, so many civilians all across Islamic Republic of Iran because of the attacks of Zayo American forces. And here and there in the majalis of Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, in today Iran, you can find the name of Shahid Rahbar Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, different shuhada by names. And today I would like to dedicate this episode live edition to Makan Nasiri, the school boy who was killed and assassinated in Minab attack school on February 28, 2026. And his body is not still found. May Allah bless the soul of all dear martyrs, including our leader, and all the people, the good, beautiful souls that we have lost during the last war, mainly known as the Ramadan War in 2026 against Islamic Republic of Iran. And truly this war is a war of anti-oppression. I mean, this has been the slogan and the motto of Islamic Republic of Iran from day one. The concept of anti-oppression in the Husseini movement is the topic for today, and how this anti-oppression in today's world, in modern world, was taken from the Husseini movement. Shaykh Danish, let's start with you, brother. So, still going on, I mean, anti-oppression, anti-tyranny, and again, the name of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is at work and at play. How come?
Yes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As you have already mentioned, that this tyranny that is being faced by the modern world is led by American and Zionist forces.
Yes.
And
the Epstein class, is better to call
and
them.
And the Epstein class, we can call them as well. And so we see that in the words of Shahid Rehber as well, martyred Ayatollah Khamenei, we see that he has mentioned in one of his speeches about the same point, that this need to be independent from these Zionist forces and these elite classes is a policy that is followed by all governments. All people would desire to follow their own benefit. They would desire to lead a life of independence and deciding for their own people. But what we have in the Islamic Republic of Iran is basically a policy that is rooted in faith, in the religion.
That's
and
right.
In the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We see that not agreeing with the oppressor or not giving in to the oppressor,
yes,
is basically a policy that was taught to us by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And before that, this is the policy of the Holy Quran as well.
Yes. And how the history repeats itself, because when Yazid ibn Muawiyah in 61 AH went to Imam al-Hussein to took allegiance by force, and he said that, I want total surrender of Hussein, okay? And this total surrender, after all these years, is being repeated in Donald Trump's post, that I want total surrender from Islamic Republic of Iran. No total surrender by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. No total surrender by Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And how we can say similar the two are. So still the oppression is going on, and still the anti-oppression movements is going on. And is it region limited, language limited, or, I mean, for example, government limited? For example, say that some people are the forerunners of anti-oppression in today's world?
Yeah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. I'd like to offer my condolences on the arrival of the month of Muharram to the brothers who are here in the studio and all those brothers and sisters who are listening to us. Well, you said it beautifully, that this confrontation between the front of haq and batil, truth and falsehood, exist. I mean, in the course of history, it's not something new. And all of us, I think, have heard this famous statement of كل أرض كربلاء وكل يوم عاشوراء. So it means that wherever we stand, in any time, in any, let's say, point in history, so this confrontation exists. So there would be a group of Husseinis and a group,
yes,
of Yazidis in front of each other.
Yes.
So it's not something new. From day one of this creation, from the day one when the Prophet Adam actually came down to this earth, and we have seen this battle between Cabel and Abel. We have seen it from that day.
Abel and Cain.
Abel and,
yes,
Cain,
that's,
yeah,
right.
And second, we saw it, but we are taking lessons. I mean, after the issue and the event of Muharram and Ashura, we are taking lessons in the best way that a person in the front of truth can react towards this falsehood.
That's right.
So to my own understanding, in the course of history, the whole humanity is indebted to Imam al-Hussein and his teachings, because he taught us properly how to react towards falsehood. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam could stay in Medina and do his actually teachings there, and bring up some, let's say, people with Islamic education and trainings. He could actually help the poor and the needy of Medina, like what his father and brother did earlier. But he actually started his movement for a higher cause? What is this higher cause that he moves toward Hajj and he leaves Hajj incomplete and goes, what is that that makes it that much different? I mean, this concept of standing in front of oppression is that much important that you want to actually answer to the letters that have invited you to what? To do what? To establish a government, because all the prophets and all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning till today, they were all after establishing a government to establish judgment, justice in communities and societies.
Without practicing such slogans, as you said, Islam has no meaning. I mean, because being submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being silent or being passive or neutral to the oppressions that is taking place all around you, for example, in today's world, about the people of Palestine, about the people of Lebanon, Yemen, Islamic Republic of Iran, you know, it doesn't show that you are truly a Muslim. By the same token, we could see that so many non-Muslims all across the world. I really admire some countries like, for example, Spain, who have shown true faith, you know, in supporting anti-oppression, anti-war campaigns all over the countries.
This is exactly what Imam Hussein himself explains when he was asked what is the purpose of his mission and what is the purpose of this movement that he started with. He said, "Urid an amr bil ma'roof wa nahy an munkar." This is quite famous, that to do amr bil ma'roof wa nahy an munkar, to enjoin good and forbid the evil. But later on, actually, he refers to the exact statement that you just actually came up with the issue of, I mean, not to be indifferent towards whatever you are doing in this world. I mean, towards, for example, whatever oppression comes in the world. He says this. He said, "O people," when he was asked, he said, "O people, I heard from my grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, 'قال من رأى سلطانا جائرا مستحلا لحرم الله ناكثا لعهد الله فلم يغير عليه بفعل ولا قولا كان حقا على الله أن يدخله مدخله.'" What does it mean? It says that if a person agrees with the oppression that comes through a tyrant, through a, let's say, oppressive ruler, and that person actually satisfies with that, and he's deserved to be associated with that ruler.
Yes.
So to be indifferent, I mean, this is what
exactly what
you actually pinpointed.
Or be silent or neutral to what is
it? He actually clarifies the goal and objective of his movement with this.
You're an accomplice.
He said, "I heard it from my grandfather, the Holy Prophet. So I cannot be indifferent towards what is going on in the Islamic Ummah."
Very good.
So how come can we apply this to this life here?
And I think this is, Shaykh Danish, the universal principle that is beyond this historical context. Because historically speaking, some people might say that, okay, do not talk about obsolete, ancient type of out-of-date concepts, for example, the war between Yazid and Hussein was a tribal one, maybe, okay? A political one, still, I'd say. So it has nothing to do, for example, with us today. That was a war between two Arabs more than 1,000 years ago in 61 AH. And so how to benefit from it today has nothing to do with us. But when you go to the core values of the Husseini movement, you still can find it that still beneficial today. And we have seen that when the Palestine case and the Gaza case was over there, so many people on the social media have written that Palestine and then Islamic Republic of Iran, of course, are the modern-day Karbala, okay? So I mean, such a resemblance between the two events that took place. And this is, I think, the universal principle that is beyond the context, the historical context.
Yes, and we notice that every nation takes insights and lessons from their history and those ethos that have witnessed over the period of their history. If you go into Indian history, for example, they will speak about what their own cultural and traditions have been. But we as Muslims throughout the world, 1.5 billion Muslims or 2 billion Muslims that we have, we know that these ethos and these cultural values have a religious basis. Mm-hmm. And even for the Ahl Sunnah, we have the tradition of the Holy Prophet that regarding Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they Every Friday they recite that Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah.
Yes, that's
every
it.
Friday it is recited from the sermons and the pulpits of the mosques of Ahl Sunnah. So why is Imam Hussein and Imam Hassan alayhi salam both are the leaders of the youths of paradise? Why? Because Imam Hassan alayhi salam fulfilled his obligation in his lifetime, and it was to carry the movement forward, so that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam makes his uprising,
right,
everyone knows the status and the right nature of that Umayyad government and caliphate.
Right.
And so Imam Hussein alayhi salam's lesson has a religious sanction,
yes,
behind it. It has a rational sanction. That is, if we analyze it religiously, we say that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was on haq and
yes,
was fighting against batil.
Very
if we analyze it with reason as well, we reach the same conclusion.
Really?
If we analyze it historically, we reach the same conclusion. So that is why Imam Khamenei, the martyred leader, has so many times stressed on the fact that our inqilab, our revolution, is rooted in the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and we take lessons from it. And
that's right,
the entire world, in fact, is willing to take lessons from the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi
salam. All right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Ahmad Danish, brother Alavian, for a nice elaboration. We have to take a break, and after that, we'll get to the multiple layers of the opposition and how the Muslim Ummah today can oppose oppression and tyranny all across the world against this Epstein class on interconnected layers and multiple layers. Thank you very much for being with us. And dear listeners, you're listening to us live on IRIB English Radio. Today's live edition is dedicated to Makan Nasiri, the Shaheed that we missed in the Minab attacks, February 28, 2026. Please be with us for more than 1 hour.
هر کی بگرید بر حسین، هر کی بگریونه یکی رو بر امام حسین، هر کی گریش نمیاد نمیتونه کسی هم بگریونه.
If someone sheds tears over the afflictions which happened to Imam al-Hussein, or makes someone shed tears on these afflictions, or even show oneself as if shedding tears, all of these three groups will be given higher ranks in paradise. Now, this promise of the divine heaven is not mere words, but a practical one. Shedding tears over Imam al-Hussein makes one go to heaven. This is the gate of Imam al-Hussein to heaven. Now, if one sheds tears over Imam al-Hussein, even without having exact knowledge of what happened to him, heaven will be ready for him or her. Through some actions, the true identity of a person will be displayed. Shedding tears over Imam al-Hussein is one such action. The heavenly angels will record your shedding tears on Imam al-Hussein, and this will save you in the other world. It is through these actions that you show your love towards Imam al-Hussein.
Welcome back. You are listening to us live on IRIB English Radio. What you listened to as a break was part of this speech by Sayyid Ahmad Najafi, the late Sayyid Ahmad Najafi, the famous orator and Shia lecturer, who gave this beautiful speech on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and shedding tears for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Brother Alavian, let's get to you now, brother, and talk about the multiple layers of the opposition. Some might think that opposition against tyranny in today's world is only militarily speaking, I mean, it is not only the military attacks. Of course, alhamdulillah, Islamic Republic of Iran has shown a good background and history in counterattack and the counterstrikes against Zayo American forces during both Ramadan War and the 12-day War. Alhamdulillah, yeah. Such a powerful stance taken by Islamic Republic of Iran. But in what layers can we show our hatred for an opposition for the tyranny and today's oppression all across the world?
Well, standing in front of oppression naturally and principally has its own cost. I mean, those who want to stand in front of oppression need to pay the cost of it. We saw in the history how Imam Hussein alayhi salam did this. I mean, he paid this cost by what? By martyrdom of himself, sacrificing himself, and yes. Martyrdom of his family members and his companions, right?
Right.
But whose name now stands and is still alive, and at least, I mean, who knows anything, any news, any report from for at least the graves of those who were in front of him,
mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, in case you thought to stand in front of oppression, you have to prepare yourself for the cost that it has, and it's quite natural.
You mean the good people always outstand the history? I mean,
that's it.
And travels, you know, the narrative of the Husseini movement travels beyond.
Definitely. Nothing has been left from Yazid and his people and his community.
Nothing.
I mean, at least those even who agree, I mean, even in today's world, those who agree with the stance of Yazid, still they cannot even name him among themselves. So I want to say that you need to pay its cost. I mean, saying no to arrogant powers, to superpowers, so-called superpowers, to oppressors is difficult. But those who, for the sake of Allah, accepted to this, so they need to prepare themselves. They have to know that at the end of the day, the result would be what? Victory. This victory might be, I mean, spiritual victory. It might be also spiritual and material victory at the same time, right?
Good.
So this victory is not necessarily, I mean, always both material and spiritual.
Yes.
So we believe that Imam Hussein alayhi salam came out of this battle victorious.
Yes.
For a person who just look at this world materialistically,
yes.
So he thinks that Imam Hussein, no, he was defeated. The same way that a person can judge us, for example, in this recent war that we had.
Yes.
The whole world can now actually judge properly that who was defeated in this war that we had.
Yes,
yes, from the viewpoint of military, we might have been, for example, military action, we actually stabbed them very beautifully.
Let me make this comparison. I did it yesterday, okay, on the first edition of the live edition too, that today we are more powerful than Imam al-Hussein, the army too, okay,
definitely.
in terms of the military, for example, attacks or the tools that we have in our hands.
No doubt.
Strait of Hormuz is over there, okay? So, today's strength and the power that Islamic Republic of Iran and the Axis of Resistance have in its hands is because of the spirit that was taken from the Husseini movement.
I think.
But nowadays we are much stronger.
Yeah, I wanted to say that it's true that, for example, hide it, that the enemy at least struck us, for example.
Yeah.
So it's quite natural. But who put his neck on the, who put his foot in the neck of the enemy?
Yes.
Today, it's quite vivid and judged very beautifully. So let's be back to, the question itself. I want to say that if one intends to stand in a form of oppression, so he has to know that once he need to pay from his mal, from his actually possessions, assets.
Yes.
Once he might be sacrificing his own soul, as it was done by Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and his companions.
Yes.
So, but all in all, the end of it is beautiful and it is victory.
Inshallah. Okay. So the religious, we can say, opposition against oppression is one stance that is taken beautifully by the religion of Islam. And that is the core meaning of, we can say, the mission of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and his movement. And today, I think that the best inheritor to that mission and the heir and the legacy is Islamic Republic of Iran and the good axis of Muqawaman resistance all across the world. And this is beautifully manifested in the behaviors of such governments. We could see that, for example, without Iran's opposition against U.S. and the Zionism, so there could be a catastrophe taking place in the region, because this Israel is after, we can say, this great map of Israel, you know, in the region, and one by one, it will come up to you. And the Shahid rapper said that America wants to swallow up, okay, or devour, it's better to say, Islamic Republic of Iran and the other Muslim countries. This was a prediction, of course, made by the late Ayatollah Khomeini so many years ago. But there is a cost. I mean, anti-oppression needs a cost. And logically speaking, that cost is harmful to the society. How to give people such an understanding that the cost we are giving is beneficial at the end of the day, Sheikh Ahmad Danish?
Yes, and basically the Iranian nation and the tradition that we follow has given us this understanding. Whenever yes. we have mourning ceremonies in the month of Muharram, we know that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was willing to give the cost or his own life, his most precious funds, his mm-hmm. Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salam were martyred, his friends, his ashab were martyred, everything he gave for the cause of Islam, right? And so this lesson is relearned every Muharram and every Safar.
Yes.
And the nation, the Iranian nation, the all the followers of the Ahl al-Bayt, they have mourning ceremonies throughout the world, in all corners of the world. And this yes. lesson is refreshed for mm-hmm. us every year.
Very good.
And we know that all the Aima alayhi salam followed this path.
Yes.
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave, he said that no prophet was so much oppressed for standing for right yes. as I was.
Yes.
Right. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam, we can see in his own lifetime, he gave a huge cost mm-hmm. for standing up for what was right.
Yes.
And so this is the lesson that the Iranian nation has learned. But we can also point out that whenever we go outside
yes.
and speak with different people about the policies of the resistance movement and the resistance nations against the oppressors, all the other people are also supportive of the cause. I remember that during this war, I heard a conservative analyst from the US.
Yes.
He has a huge following, but he's not allowed on YouTube and other media, but some of his clips are propagated.
Okay.
So his name is Nick Fuentes.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nick Fuentes said that the war that Iran is making against the Zionist enemy, this is our war.
Yes.
Basically, you are fighting against America. Okay. He's an American, but he's saying...
Of course, we didn't start a war.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
we were attacked in the midst of negotiations.
But he said
okay.
that the yes. Zionist entity yes. has so much spread its tentacles inside America that mm-hmm. we are not following our own interests, and we are following the interests of
so many movements all across the world have repeated what you said and what the analyst has said, that the war of Iran, or it's better to say this is America war. Of course, this is not Iran war. You know, somebody was shocked that, for example, how do you call it? Iraq war, Yemen war, Vietnam war, Iran war, in the case that America has started all this war. It's better to call them America war. Okay, this is American war. So American war and the Zionist war against Islamic Republic of Iran has given the people this type of awakening and enlightenment that this is our war too. So
true.
Why not defending the rights of the people of Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran? And then some of them, which go deep, deep into the analysis, think that why this movement is still going on? Because the leadership is removed, their military commanders are removed. And what is the secret to this survival? So, Brother Alavian, what is the secret to this survival?
Actually, as I said earlier, it is rooted in the divine teachings that these people have taken from the Islamic teachings, and then in the actions and in the sunnah, or I can say in the conduct of the leaders of this ummah and the leaders of this religion. So we are looking at the reaction of Imam Hussein towards what, the oppression, as a role model. So we're taking our lessons from there.
Very good.
Well, we want to say that if we want to bring it actually to the whole story to what is going on today, we see that the Americans now, today the United States, is taking the economy of the whole world as a hostage for the survival of another nation, which is Israel.
Yes.
So, I mean, the whole world is under pressure, under, let's say, oppression of this wicked entity of Israel. So what for? And what is the reason that they are trying their best? I mean, to... So it is actually working. I mean, this state in the Middle East, in the West of Asia, is actually working like... a security valve. Mm-hmm. So what is it for then? So does it have anything to do with Americans? In actuality, no. But mm-hmm. it has some benefits for the Americans, okay. because as far as it is, I mean, chaos, unrest in the region, then yes. their sellings of weapons would be, I mean, it will make a good
market. I mean, the lobbies are over there, you know, financially speaking, but the Jews support very much.
When we studied
that... IPAC is over there, and now the Epstein class is yeah. over there. Okay. I mean, I do want to say there are lots of documents showing that the Jews, and especially the Zionist Jews, you know, and the Christian Jews, of course,
that's
we can say, have their influence over the politics, domestic politics of the United States of America.
But when we study that, what is the good of it for the American nation?
Yes.
I mean, does it have anything good for the Americans, for themselves? Mm-hmm. We see that it has nothing, just expenses for them and all right. or the taxes that they need to pay.
Yes.
So what is, I mean, beyond the story or behind this curtain that, for example, more than 200 million are paying for the survival of some 4 or 5 million people here in yes. West of Asia, just okay. for those, I mean, that there must be something that they have something from those leaders of the United States.
I know
that,
what you mean.
In case it is disclosed, I mean, everything would be in a mess. Mm-hmm. Is it due to this? I mean, so why should it be paid this price? This cost should be paid by the Americans then.
Okay, that's it. Now, why humiliation in this discourse is forbidden? I mean, and why some follow it and yet others do not? Because we could see that, for example, American bases in some of the Arab countries in the Persian Gulf, attacked Islamic Republic of Iran directly. And so such a humiliation for a Muslim land to attack its Muslim brothers and sisters from over there. So it gives their bases to an arrogant power like Israel or America. Let me name them, okay? UAE, hand in hand, okay, with Israel. In killing the people, not only Islamic Republic of Iran, but for example, also the people of Sudan, isn't it? That they were killed, I mean, hand in hand with the UAE and Israel attacks over there. So I do want to say it seems that the Muslim Ummah needs a kind of awakening too, and a kind of enlightenment too. But why this humiliation is not still felt by some people, so-called Muslims all across the world, Sheikh Danish?
Yes, and we have to focus again on the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, mm-hmm. that his basic movement was against this humiliation of accepting a tyrant. And so this is the ethos of Karbala and the ethos of the Islamic Revolution that took its lesson from the movement of Karbala. But when we see the Islamic nations, they have been trained in such a way that they accept this oppression and the system of oppression throughout these 70 odd years after the Second World War, when these new nations were created by the British Empire. The British Empire was the foremost power at that time.
Yes.
And so they created all these nations, and not only Islamic nations, but throughout the world, all the new nations that were created, they were treated as colonies, but in a different manner. Mm-hmm. The policy was that if we put our own forces in these lands, it would be very much more costly as yes. compared to managing these nations from right. afar through the world systems of the United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank. Mm-hmm. So they have been trained in such a way, the elites have been trained in such a way that they go to the Western universities, they learn this the same liberal, for example, the theories of economics and different politics.
All right.
And they come back to apply those theories in the fashion of the Western nations. And they don't know any other thing other than applying the same lessons that they have learned in Western universities.
That's it.
And if one of them, for example, tries to go against the script and follow the policies that are beneficial to their own nations, you have a very good book written by, I think, a CIA analyst. The book is titled the Chronicles or the Testaments of an Economic Hitman, mm-hmm. right? And so this CIA analyst says that how do we go and destroy these nations? Yes. First, we go and approach them that why don't you take a loan from us? Mm-hmm. And we will help you in building and developing and all of those things. And if these people accept the loans, they come with some conditions. Right. And those conditions say that you have to follow such and such policy. So over a period of time, all of these different Muslim nations have become a part of the global economic system. And becoming a part of the global economic system, it means that you have to follow the policies that, for example, are dictated by the World Bank, the IMF. And these are all control mechanisms.
That's right.
So if today, for example, they start to think about the benefit of their own nation, they can be economically destroyed. Mm-hmm. They can be politically, the leadership can be removed.
Yes.
I remember that recently in one of these countries, a letter comes from America that if you don't remove such a leader, our relations with you will become worse, and yes. we will not allow mm-hmm. economic policies, or okay. we will not give you loans, we will
and
not give you military equipment.
And such a dependence they have on yes. the so-called world economy and this, we can say, oppressive economy of mm-hmm. the world, that if, for example, the ties are cut, mm-hmm. the country is not going to survive. And yes. this is exactly opposite to what we see in Islamic Republic of Iran, the self-sufficiency that our Martin leader
because of this, we
yes.
can understand mm-hmm. the importance of the Islamic Republic.
Very good.
Why can Islamic Republic stand on its 2 feet mm-hmm. and say no to the oppressor? Because it has not followed these policies. For the period of mm-hmm. since 1979, it has stood on its own
yes.
feet. It has not accepted World Bank and IMF loans to destroy its nation.
All
that
right.
is why it can stand on its 2 feet.
May I add one more point to this?
We've got about 1-2 minutes
okay.
at this phase, this part of the
yeah.
program.
Okay. I want to actually right. emphasize that we have learned something very important from the late Imam Khomeini, the martyred leader, that they have taught us here in Iran. We have to believe in Allah. I mean, once we say that, okay, we believe in Allah, once we need to, have a heart belief in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So what is the actual manifestation of this statement that they have actually, I can say that they have injected it into our hearts that mm-hmm. we believed it. In case, for example, an enemy dictates you something, so we are not going to accept it. Why? Okay. Because we have believed in a greater power, a superpower, which yes. is Allah subhanahu
yes.
wa ta'ala. So then, so this belief that should be internalized in our hearts mm-hmm. is something that actually, I told you, due to the beautiful treatment and typology of the treatment of these two great leaders, actually was a role model for the whole world in today's world. Because, other Muslims should learn from them. Because based on the famous ayah, لَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا, that so we have to know that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to help us from the moment that we found a complete and comprehensive hopelessness from anywhere else.
All right.
So this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to help us. So people or Muslims in the Islamic Ummah should not actually believe that in case, for example, they have been threatened by an enemy, so there is no more God. Mm-hmm. So Allah is already there.
All right.
This is what we have.
Right.
I think, in this society, we have reached to this, maturity that we believe in Allah's promises.
And this self-reliance, self-trust, and as you said, self-sufficiency that the Islamic Republic of Iran is following as the method has helped it in order to survive. Although the leadership of Iran was removed, so many commanders,
yeah.
high-ranking officials, were assassinated. We have lost so many great, dear people of Islamic Republic of Iran, dear officials and high-ranking commanders, but it's still going on, and the movement is still going on.
And the same Allah
yes,
which existed
yes,
at the time
Allah,
of the Holy Prophet
yes,
in the Badr
yes,
is the same
yes,
Allah that helps us
it.
Today.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Halavyan and Sheikh Ahmad Danish. Let's take a break in this live edition on IRIB English Radio, and after a break, we'll get to the last section of our today's live edition. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. Dear listeners, thank you very much for being with us on this live edition. Again, we express our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the month of Muharram, a rather different month of Muharram since we have lost our dear leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
In our hearts and in So the letter is saying to Al-Hussein, you should come now because we have already made our minds up. We are already gathered. We have already recruited the men. We know what to do. I think Atiyah Al-Hussein now sees an obligation to respond. If something is wrong and somebody is saying, I will help you to fix this wrong, this governor is doing prayers the wrong way, or Yazid is messing around with the Sharia, we are willing to fix it. We need your help to fix it. What is Al-Hussein's obligation? Al-Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar. Al-Hussein cannot say, well, I don't know, I don't trust you. I have a bad feeling about you. I'm going to go to Yemen, I'm going to go somewhere else, I'm going to stay in Mecca.
Finally, after receiving all of those letters, he contented himself with one single reply. And he wrote back, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from Hussein ibn Ali to the believers and the Muslims. Note that he did not say the Shia, he was not rising up for the Shia, he said to the believers and the Muslims. Hani and Sa'd, who were the last messengers to come, have come to me with your letters. I've understood from what you said that you have invited me to come to you because you have no imam among you to guide you, and you hope that when I come there, this will guide you on the right path and in the truth.
He does not address it to the Shia of Kufa or the Shia of Basra, he addresses the Muslims. And he describes what the role of the imam is, which is himself. It is to guide people according to the book of God and Sunnah.
And hence he sent his ambassador, Muslim Ibn Aqil, with the message of saying their willingness. He says, I shall, by the will of Allah, come to you very soon. If Muslim Ibn Aqil said that you are united in your goal, as your letter states, then he highlights the purpose and the mission of the imam. He says, by my life, an imam is the one who acts upon the book of Allah and implements justice and follows the path of righteousness. He dedicates himself to follow Allah's commandments, and peace be with you. And therefore, the guidelines onto what constitutes an imam and a leader is mentioned towards the end of the letter.
See, look at the wisdom of the imam. He didn't come out straight and say, look, I'm going to come to Kufa right away. He says, I'm sending a messenger. So even if someone like Yazid was to intercept all these letters, which he did, he can see that Hussein is not merely raising an army to fight Yazid. He's really saying, are the people really going to support me in making wrong disappear from Islam? Is Al-Hussein coming out just purely for power? No, because look, when people are saying to him, we're ready to fight for you, he sends his cousin to make sure that what they say is true. He's very, very cautious. Also, he's not coming out aggressively. The imam is waiting to see if people really want to do this, because this means bloodshed, this means standing up to someone like Yazid.
Welcome back. You're listening to us live on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum, Ya Aba Abdullah Al-Hussein. What you listened to was a beautiful short clip regarding standing up against oppression in the words of different scholars all across the world. And this year's Manaver and the Majalis of the Ahlul Bayt all across the world is directly influenced by what took place in Islamic Republic of Iran. And this is how beautifully the orators and the Shia lecturers all across the world on the pulpit make resemblance between what took place in 61 AH and the February 2026, you know, in Islamic Republic of Iran, and how beautiful this is. So, alhamdulillah, that this culture of muqawamah, resistance, is finding its way and finding its path through the main discourse of the societies, especially on social media. You could find it, you know, that so many people through, you know, different productions are we can say, encouraging such a muqawama against Zionism and Islam and Zionist American forces. But now, Brother Alavian, one major question is that why such a culture might find its way into the narratives of the non-Muslim lands more than some so-called Islamic lands?
Yeah, a very beautiful question. Well, to be honest, I have always been asking myself that what, based on the hadith that they say that when Imam Zaman alayhi salam comes, mm-hmm. he introduces himself referring to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Yes. He introduces himself to his grandfathers. So it was a question to myself. I mean, I'm talking about myself.
Yeah, very good.
So how is it possible that he is going to introduce himself while the whole world today, at least this world today, might not have any idea about who Imam Hussein was, who the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was? So it was a question to myself. When we see that, I mean, this is the blessing of sometimes the wars have more blessings than the destruction that they make.
Yeah, and the peace.
We see that this war made something so that we could we have been able to introduce more Imam Hussein al-Assam and the culture of Ashura. And mm-hmm. we see even in the last two decades, when from the time that ISIS was created and formed and actually had its role in the region, and the way that Islam was introduced, then I mean some opponents came to oppose themselves with whatever was done by those so-called Muslims. So we need, really, Imam alayhi salam will come someday when the culture of Ashura and the event of Ashura is quite dominant. So by culture of Ashura, we are not expecting the whole world to be the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt. No. As far as they agree with what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did, and they know who Imam Hussein was and why he actually started this uprising and movement, and what he was after in his movement. So he was after Amr al-Ma'ruf Nahi al-Munkar, he was after justice. Mm-hmm. So people slowly and gradually understand what is going on. So this hadith comes to me that, okay, yes, sometime Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will come while the whole world know who Imam Hussein alayhi salam is. Right?
Yes.
So this culture should be, we're at the beginning of the way. It needs to be quite dominant in the whole world that who Imam Hussein alayhi salam was. So what was he? Imam Hussein is known for his being anti-oppression, right?
You're right.
So this anti-oppression, why he was anti-oppression? So we see whoever actually did a movement in the whole, in the world, I mean, in our contemporary world I'm talking about. So we need, directly or indirectly, he was indebted to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. Let's read about what Gandhi said. Let's read about what Patrice Lumumba said. I mean, so they learned something here. I mean,
yes.
the base is here. They learned it from here. So we want to say, so these are the preliminary steps for the arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and this culture that was introduced by Imam Hussein, and the way that Imam Hussein alayhi salam stood in front of oppression and did not accept any arrogant power.
All right.
So he told us how we can, we had it, I mean, from our, alhamdulillah, trath or resources that we had in Islamic literature. But now this literature is going to be actually exported to the whole world without us doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see that the reaction of the whole world towards this war that had happened recently, or the people of Gaza, we had people 5 decades ago also. I mean, we've seen, I mean, the yes. treatment of the people 5 decades ago, 6 decades ago.
Okay.
But it was not like this today, that is standing in different, but even in European and American countries, people.
We know that some of the people of the Muslim lands in the region were ashamed by their government. Okay, at how come that, for example, the same people, the same language, you know, the people of Palestine, you know, and yeah. Gaza are under attacks, and our governments are doing nothing in order to stop them. And now, Islamic Republic of Iran, okay, is attacking. It's showing its opposition against all this tyranny, and the United States of America. And the which is experiencing itself one of the most so-called selfish presidents in the whole history, okay? So when you go and just analyze the discourse and the narratives on their social media or late shows or the daily shows programs on their media, you could see that how much, you know, the people of the United States of America and the elite part of the society of America hate their current president, Donald Trump. And now the war of Iran against Donald Trump or United States of America is a war of their, we can't say, stance. against the United States.
Do you agree with me, guys, that we did nothing for this? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did.
Alhamdulillah.
I mean, this is a blessing that came to us, and this is actually a game that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala played on the whole humanity.
And this is the victory, the ultimate victory that, maintaining independence is the ultimate victory, Sheikh Danish. Is it possible to become independent in today's world because what you referred to as the global economic system, okay, and all this dependent system and the control system that they are creating, does it give a way to be independent in today's world?
Yes, and to continue Brother Alavian's thought, that the war has very many hidden blessings, and we don't realize it until and unless we go and experience it. So one of those hidden blessings was, again, introduction of Imam Khamenei as well. This war proved that so many of his previous speeches were again reread, and one instance that I recall is that one person posted a meeting of Ayatollah Khamenei with Saad Hariri, the Prime Minister of Lebanon.
Lebanon, that's right.
Previously.
Yes.
And Saad Hariri came to meet Ayatollah Khamenei, and he said that, why don't you control Hezbollah, for example, and militarily we need to control their weapons. And this was the narrative of the West and Israelis. And Ayatollah Khamenei gave him an example from one of the novels that he had read, from the French, one of the French authors. And so one of the persons who was from Pakistan, he's an intellectual and he does various YouTube channels, and he has a large following. And so he said that, I didn't know that Ayatollah Khamenei was so well-versed with Western authors as well.
Yeah.
So this is one of the blessings of the war, that it is not only an introduction of Imam Hussein's movement, it is an introduction of the policies of the Iranian Revolution, it is an introduction of Imam Khamenei, and we haven't done anything for that.
Yeah.
It is the in itself, it is a blessing of
one of the most well-versed leaders, politically speaking, and in terms of the literature. We know that Ayatollah Khamenei was really great, okay?
Yes.
Even when, for example, he had a visit, and on this day, we can say monthly basis, he had all these meetings with different groups of the people. I mean, the people from the cultural section, you know, the literature, and he had such a beautiful mastery over Persian literature, religious literature. Ayatollah Khomeini too, okay?
True.
He was a poet too, one of the most beautiful poets with the spiritual content, you know, are, we can say, written and authored by Ayatollah Khomeini, and Ayatollah Khamenei Shahid Rahbar too. And this is what, unfortunately, the Western media don't want its people to know.
True.
That we need such leaders like Donald Trump. They need such leaders like Donald Trump, an illiterate businessman who even cannot, for example, write sentences himself, you know, without the teleprompter, autocue is nothing, okay?
And his name appears so many times in the Epstein class files.
Yes, and Epstein class file. And on the contrary, you could see a well-versed man like, we can say, Ayatollah Khamenei. Again, such resemblance that exists between Shahid Rahbar and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and today's Epstein class and Yazid, you know, in 61 AH. That's it. Okay. We got about 5 minutes to the end of this live edition. And okay, so the mic is yours, Brother Alavian. Your final remarks.
Yeah. How much time do you have?
You got about 2.5.
Okay.
Sheikh Danish, 2.5 too, okay.
I want to say that in our today's world, we can actually unite with all the brothers and sisters in the world who are with us in this viewpoint, in the viewpoint of what?
Very
establishing
good.
Justice.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of our religious differentiations, regardless of our religious discrepancies, we are not going to get to these issues. So we have our religions, they have their own religions. Either you are Muslim or Christian or Jew or whatsoever, I want to say we have one common status, one common goal. What is that? Justice for the humanity. This is what is the the purpose and the objective of Imam Ali Salam, Imam Mahdi Ali Salam's uprising and movement.
Yes,
and he, one of the name of Imam Mahdi Ali Salam is Al Adl, We say that As-salamu ala al-adl al-muntadhar. That is, he is the manifestation of justice. So all of us, actually, in case we are going to gather under one umbrella, all the brothers from different religions, Abrahamic or non-Abrahamic.
Okay.
So we are wishing something, justice.
Yes.
And let us be together for this very important cause and purpose.
Yes.
So what is that? To be after truth. Mm-hmm. We can, I mean, today, I mean, in the history, there was no time more clear and vivid than today that what is the front of haq and what is the front of batil.
Very good.
So we can actually restore to the front of haq and seek justice, right?
Yes.
So anyone, any, let's say, sane person can judge that whatever is going on Gaza is what is...
Inhumane. That's right.
So that's enough. In case, as long as you actually agree with that, that's enough.
All right.
We cannot be indifferent. So, showing our actually stance in this world is very important.
Okay.
Let not be the addressee of that famous hadith of the Holy Prophet when said, "If you agree with the action of those who are oppressors, you will be associated with them."
With them. That's right. Okay. One personal question for you, Brother Alavian. Beside the character of our Shaheed Rahbar, who we love him so much. Okay. Who else can name just one who
in the recent martyrs
you are influenced very much by?
The General Khakpur, or the head of Khakpur.
Yes.
He was outstanding. He was astonishing.
Right.
I mean his character or the knowledge that he had in military base that he was expert in.
Okay.
He was something exceptional.
All right. So, Sheikh Danish, your final remarks and then the personal question for you too, okay?
Yes. And so I was reading a quote from Imam Khomeini. And he said that basically this entire sawab and this entire reward that we have for the majalis-e-aza of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam, it was basically a means and a mechanism of organizing the Shias and the followers of the Ahl al-Bayt during the times of the Umayyad and the Abbasid caliphate in order to save that central concept of the resistance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam against oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And so much reward has been mentioned on organizing these majalis-e-aza, mourning ceremonies, and weeping over Imam Hussein's martyrdom. Why? Because this central concept of rising in against the oppressor is a core concept in the religion of Islam.
That's right.
For any movement, it is the essential concept. And that is why, in Imam Khomeini's view, so much reward has been mentioned on this concept and these mourning ceremonies. And this is what has taken the movement forward. This is what we see in the resistance movements throughout the world. And the resistance axis has this special relationship with Imam Hussein alayhi salam throughout, whether you have it in Yemen, whether you have it in Hezbollah, whether you have it in Hamas, whether you see the resistance in Iran.
All right.
So this central concept is the inspiring thought in all of these resistance movements.
The motto or head of the resistance movement.
Yes. And
one of the martyrs that you were very much influenced by, especially in the recent years and the recent attacks, you know.
And in the recent attacks, I think the life of, Shahid Hassan Nasrullah, of course, was an
very
inspiration in the resistance axis. And of course, Imam Khamenei is one of the leaders that has been so little has been written about his thoughts, right? In the Western media, and especially they have a special emphasis on negating his entire personality. So so few of the people know that he had a great love for literature.
Yes.
So few people know that he was able to criticize Farsi literature and poetry.
You're right, brother. Due to the censorship in the West media, it was known and understood
his
by people.
His thoughts were not allowed.
Yeah.
So besides Shahid Ayatollah Khamenei,
Shahid Ayatollah Khamenei, we can say that
one person who very much influenced you, we missed him a lot.
Musavi, right? And he was from Qom, and he was
Abdul Rahim Musavi.
Abdul Rahim Musavi was the leader of the army,
yes,
the Artesh that we call
the chief of the force, yes, armed so, forces of Islamic so his, Republic of Iran. That's right.
His life is an example that he rose from the bottom and became the leader and martyred leader of the Artesh.
That's right.
Army.
Thank you, Sheikh Ahmad Danish and Brother Alavian, for a nice elaboration regarding anti-oppression. And this movement that's going on still benefiting a lot from Husseini movement, even today's world. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for being with us on IRIB English Radio, a special live edition in the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today's episode is dedicated to Shahid Makan Nasiri, who lost his life in the attacks of the Zaire American forces against Minab School on February 28, 2026. May Allah bless the soul of all the martyrs we have lost during 12-day war and the Ramadan war. To another live edition, do not forget us in your supplications and majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Sallallahu alayki ya Abu Abdullah. Take care and goodbye.
Sacrifice and the earthless cries after his demise. My eyes discern into